Good morning, and welcome to Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. We're glad you tuned in today. Trinity Lutheran is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado. Pastor Jason Cody and the congregation at Trinity Lutheran welcome you to join them every Sunday, in person or right here on KSPK. And now, let's take you live to this morning's worship service with Pastor Jason Cody.
Good morning. The Lord's blessings to everyone in Christ Jesus today. Thanks for being here for our service this morning. We are celebrating a special day today, our LWML, our Lutheran Women's Missionary League Sunday. So we're blessed to have our ladies helping out with the service. We're thankful for them and their service to Christ, and so we celebrate with them this morning. We also welcome those who are tuned in on the radio today. Thanks for joining us for our service. We wish you the Lord's blessings as you partake in the hearing of His Word with us today. And we're glad that you're listening in. If you're here this morning, thank you for coming. We're blessed to be together in Christ as He calls us into fellowship in His Word. So we're thankful for that as well, and glad to celebrate today with our LWML ladies. Our service begins this morning with our opening hymn. That's hymn 579, The Law of God is Good and Wise. And we do invite the congregation, if you would, to please stand for our hymn this morning, for our opening hymn, as we sing together and as the cross processes towards the altar. Let's please stand if you're able, and we'll sing together. the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Beloved in the Lord, let us draw near with a true heart and confess our sins unto God our Father, beseeching Him in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to grant us forgiveness. Our help is in the name of the Lord. I said, I will confess my transgressions unto the Lord. O Almighty God, merciful Father, I, a poor, miserable sinner, confess unto you all my sins and iniquities with which I have ever offended you and justly deserved your temporal and eternal punishment. But I am heartily sorry for them and sincerely repent of them. And I pray you of your boundless mercy and for the sake of the holy, innocent, bitter sufferings and death of your beloved Son, Jesus Christ, to be gracious and merciful to me, a poor, sinful being. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the Word, announce the grace of God unto all of you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We continue with our introit from Psalm 91 and Psalm 103. He will command his angels concerning you to guard you in all your ways. Bless the Lord, O my soul, and all that is within me. Bless his holy name. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen. Lord, have mercy upon us. Christ, have mercy upon us. Lord, have mercy upon us. Glory be to God on high, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Let us pray. Almighty God, you exalted your Son to the place of all honor and authority. Enlighten our minds by your Holy Spirit, that confessing Jesus as Lord, we may be led into all truth. Through the same Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. Please be seated. This morning we have the blessing of our one of our LWML ladies, Judith Greitz, reading our Old Testament reading this morning.
The Old Testament. Testament reading is from Ezekiel 18. The word of the Lord came to me. What do you mean by repeating this proverb concerning the land of Israel? The fathers have eaten sour grapes, and the children's teeth are set on edge. As I live, declares the Lord God, this proverb shall no more be used by you in Israel. Behold, all souls are mine. The soul of the father, as well as the soul of the son, is mine. The soul who sins shall die. Yet you say, the way of the Lord is not just. Hear now, O house of Israel, is my way not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? When a righteous person turns away from his righteousness and does injustice, he shall die for it. For the injustice that he has done, he shall die. Again, when a wicked person turns away from the wickedness he has committed and does what is just and right, he shall save his life. Because he considered and turned away from all the transgressions that he had committed, he shall surely live, he shall not die. Yet the house of Israel says, the way of the Lord is not just. O house of Israel, are my ways not just? Is it not your ways that are not just? Therefore, I will judge you, O house of Israel, every one according to his ways, declares the Lord God. Repent and turn from all your transgressions, lest iniquity be your ruin. Cast away from you all the transgressions that you have committed, and make yourselves a new heart and a new spirit. Why will you die, O house of Israel? For I have no pleasure in the death of anyone, declares the Lord God. So turn and live. This is the word of the Lord.
The epistle reading is from Philippians 2, verse 1 through 18. So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind. Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus, who, though he was in the form of God, did not count equality with God as a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking the form of a servant, being born in the likeness of men, and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Therefore, God has highly exalted him and bestowed on him the name that is above every name, so that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Therefore, my beloved, as you have always obeyed, so now, not only as in my presence, but much more in my absence, work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who works in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. Do all things without grumbling or disputing, that you may be blameless and innocent, children of God, without blemish, in the midst of a crooked and twisted generation, among whom you shine as lights in the world, holding fast to the word of life, so that in the day of Christ I may be proud that I did not run in vain or labor in vain, even if I am to be poured out as a drink offering upon the sacrificial offering of your faith. I am glad and rejoice with you all. Likewise, you also should be glad and rejoice with me.
At this time, we invite the congregation to please stand if you're able for our singing of our Alleluia. Our gospel will be read from the center of the nave this morning. The Holy Gospel according to St. Matthew, the 21st chapter.
Glory be to thee, O Lord.
When Jesus entered the temple, the chief priests and the elders of the people came up to him as he was teaching and said, "By what authority are you doing these things, and who gave you this authority?" Jesus answered them, "I also will ask you one question, and if you tell me the answer, then I also will tell you by what authority I do these things. The baptism of John, from where did it come? From heaven or from man?" And they discussed it among themselves, saying, "If we say from heaven, he will say to us, 'Why then did you not believe him?' And if we say from man, we are afraid of the crowd, for they all hold that John was a prophet." So they answered Jesus, "We do not know." And he said to them, "Neither will I tell you by what authority I do these things." This is the gospel of the Lord.
Praise be to thee, O Christ.
We continue with our doxology as the cross returns to the altar. Praise God from whom all blessings flow. You join us on page 10 in your bulletin as we confess our faith to the words of the Nicene Creed. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried. And the third day he rose again, according to the Scriptures, and ascended into heaven, and sits at the right hand of the Father. And he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshipped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins. And I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. Would you join us now in singing our hymn of the day for today? That's hymn 655, "Lord, Keep Us Steadfast in Your Word." Grace, mercy, and peace be unto you from God the Father, and from our Lord and our Savior, Jesus the Christ. Amen. This morning, meet a man named Pelagius. It's a funny sounding name, right? I've heard some interesting names recently that people have named their kids in our day and age, but I don't think I've ever heard anyone named Pelagius. Pelagius was an early church heretic who lived around the turn of the 5th century AD. He actually lived during the turn of the century. His teachings were condemned as heresy at the Second Council of Ephesus in the year 480 AD. Pelagius' teachings were certainly heresy. He rejected the biblical doctrine of original sin and taught that salvation was not by grace through faith alone, but was earned by meritorious works. Now, as Lutherans, we couldn't be more the opposite of Pelagianism. Literally, Article 1 of the Formula of Concord in our Lutheran confessions is on our adherence to the doctrine of original sin. And in October, which, ready or not, now it is, we celebrate the Protestant Reformation. The Reformation Sunday is usually when we celebrate. I think it's on a Tuesday this year, on the 31st of October is Reformation Day. We still undeniably, unabashedly stand on this in our church. Salvation is by grace through faith alone. So we could be quick to judge good old Pelagius until we see the context that he was in. Then we can kind of understand why, even though he wasn't right, but we can kind of see why he held the perspective he held. See, just prior to Pelagius' life, the socio-political norms of the 4th century Roman world shifted in a massive way. This happened when Emperor Constantine I became himself a Christian and was baptized, and then issued what's historically known as the Edict of Milan. The edict made Christianity legal within the Roman Empire. This was a massive social change for the whole Roman world. Pelagius lived in a world right on the heels of that shift. We can summarize things in a quick way this morning by saying before Constantine's Edict of Milan, it was completely illegal to be a Christian in the entirety of the Roman Empire. After the edict, by Pelagius' time, it had basically become almost illegal, socially at least, not to be a Christian. This made Christian religious observance more of a civic duty, more like voting or paying taxes would be to us. It became more about that than the heartfelt work of faith it should be, which in turn caused Pelagius to conclude when he saw people living in open, unrepentant sin, idolatry, immorality constantly, and then those people, same people, showing up to Mass, baptizing their children. And he saw these as fake and empty observations of the Christian faith. And it led him to conclude in his mind his heresy. That there must be more required, he thought, than just grace by faith alone for salvation. The reason I bring this up today is because it's important for us to see. During Pelagius' life, the tide was coming in. The Apostle Paul and his companions had taken the Christian teachings and gospel up to Rome in the book of Acts and then beyond. And it was making its way during that time into the highest levels of power on earth. Christian religion was becoming the norm for the Roman world and was beginning to dominate socially, at least when it came to religious observance. And this gives us helpful insight, because today, you and I live in the exact polar opposite situation as Pelagius. And we too should learn from Pelagius and his heretical views on Scripture in order that we too, living within our context, don't find ourselves thinking heretically or drug into heretical thinking either by what's going on around us. Because today the tide isn't coming in, friends. It was coming in the 4th and 5th century when the Roman emperor became Christian. Now it's not coming in at all. In fact, I'm not sure if you've noticed all around us, but today the tide is going out. Christian membership, as an example, to church has drastically decreased in America. Do you know Gallup polls? The Gallup poll started in 1937, and in that year, 73% of people claimed membership to a congregation. 1937, I know that's a long time ago. But the number stayed at 70% or higher for the next 6 decades. Until about 1999, when it began its epic free fall. Since then, it's dropped so drastically that today in 2023, just 24 years after 1999, we're to a point where now church attendees, according to Gallup, are not even close to the majority of people in our country. Now we're at a staggering, shocking post-COVID number of 26%. Pre-COVID, it was 47%. And those numbers include Islam and their adherents. Those are not just Christian numbers. So it's even worse. Pelagius saw a time in which it swung one way in Rome, the tide coming in. And in our time, we're seeing it swing completely the other way. The tide is going out. Pelagius saw a time when people were almost pretending to be Christian publicly because the emperor was. We're seeing a time when people are running away from the church, speeding away, in a time when people's true views are finally surfacing in our country. And it's sad. But we can say most people don't care much about Christ, about his church, or about his sacraments. It matters to see this so that we're sure, so that we're guarded against, solid in our confession of faith, so that our social norms, the tide going out, what's going on in our world right now, doesn't drag us in heresy as well. In our text from Philippians 2 that we heard read this morning, it said this in verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Just so you know, the word mind there is, in English is a noun, but in Greek it's a verb. And it says have this thinking among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. Well, which thinking is this? Well, it's a thinking that if Pelagius would have heeded, would have guarded him from his heresy during his massively changing context. And it's a thinking that will guard us during ours. The apostle describes that thinking in the verses just preceding it, verses 3 through 8. Do nothing, he says, from selfish ambition or conceit. That's a motivator in our world for a whole lot of stuff, isn't it? Selfish ambition. But he says, do nothing from selfish ambition, but in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. He's describing the thinking of Christ, the thinking that's ours. Count others as more significant than yourselves. Let each of you look not only to his own interests, but also to the interests of others. It's a dangerous world, and we have to watch out for ourselves, and nobody's saying we don't. But what we can't let happen is for us to forget about others. And that's an easy thing to do when we're focused on ourselves. And it's then in verse 5 that he says, have this mind or thinking among you, among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. What struck me there was this. Have this thinking among yourselves. That's plural. It's not singular. We do have the thinking of Christ among ourselves in the gathering of the faithful. We hold these gifts together, not alone and individually only, but together, they're ours. We're used to thinking about ourselves as individuals, not as ourselves as a part of a group. That's kind of backwards thinking for our culture. But in Christ's church, in Christ's world, that's how it works. We hold these gifts together. This thinking exists among us. Then he goes on in verse 6 and says, who though he was in the form of God, this being Jesus, of course, did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself by taking on the form of a servant and being born in the likeness of men and being found in human form, he humbled himself by becoming obedient to the point of death, even death on a cross. Quick summary. The thinking of Christ always serves the neighbor. So have that mind in you, as we do have it here among us. Jesus' work on earth, his deeds, his life, his death, wasn't to exalt himself on this earth, but was done in pure service to the Father and for the sake of undeserved sinners, his neighbors, that's you and me. You know, Martin Luther once said, God doesn't need your good works. Your neighbor does. In other words, we're not earning or proving anything to God by the service that we render to him. He already calls us his own dear children in the waters of baptism. He's given us everything. We're in by grace, by faith. We didn't get in. We don't have to still get in. We're in already. And during these times of extreme social change, we're dealing with that right now. That's happening to us right now. And during those times, may God show us this, that he's already done the work of our salvation. Jesus said as he hung on the cross that day, it is finished. Completed action in the Greek grammar. And he continues to deliver to the world that finished work every single day. May he guard our thinking against self-righteous religious observance, because that is heresy. As soon as our church going becomes for the purpose of proving who we are over and against somebody else, Say that one more time. As soon as our church going, the things we do for Christ, as soon as those things become for the purpose of proving who we are over and against someone else, heresy has crept into our minds too. That's not what church is. That's not what our Christian service of any kind that we render to our Lord is. It's not to pad our resumes, to make us into somebody who's good enough to get in to God's thing, to God's kingdom, to heaven, to however it gets said. But it's confusing during these times because people are leaving and opposed to our faith. Let me ask you this. Do you come to church only for yourself? And this was a challenging thought for me this week. I thought, that's interesting. Why do I go to church? Just one example, right? I think that's the way we often think about it, that we come to church for ourselves. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing. We're greatly blessed here when we're together by Christ and His Word and His Spirit and His gifts. But that's not the only reason we come. It's not just for us. We also come here and here by His Word and Spirit and His own meal. We're made into better fathers and better mothers and better sons and better daughters and better brothers and better sisters and better friends and better co-workers and better caregivers and better everything. We're also here for our neighbors, if you look at it that way. So that when we have the chance to help them eternally, would be the most excellent help. We're ready. May God work in us an ever-present willingness not to attempt to prove our righteousness to God or to ourselves or to others in a comparison to those who don't seem to care about Jesus anymore. Instead, help us, Lord, to love our neighbors as ourselves. May what we do, no matter what it is, never bring glory to who we are. Ever. But may all our expressions of faith only always exalt the love of God within us. This is the thinking of Christ Jesus, our Lord. And as so many seem to be walking away from the faith, we shouldn't worry when we see the numbers dwindling in the Gallup polls and allow that to drag us back into a defensive position, thinking that we're better than others. No, everything we are, everything I am, everything you are, was won for you by Christ, was given to you by grace and me. And He won it for everyone who right now, sadly, is walking away from it. But He still won it for them too. And He told us in Matthew 7 it would be this way. He said, "Enter by the narrow gate, for the gate is wide and the way is easy that leads to destruction. But to those who enter it are many. For the gate is narrow and the way is hard that leads to life, and those who find it are few." It's always been that way, whether it was the 4th or 5th century or right now today. So we see then what John tells us in his epistle as well about this. "Therefore we know," he says, "it is the last hour." It is the last hour. The tide is going out. They went out from us, he says, but they were not of us. For if they'd been of us, they would have continued with us, but they went out that it might become plain that they are not of us. The only reason it needs to become plain is so that they can repent and return to the Lord. And may our Lord Jesus continually give us his thinking, his willingness to serve and forgive our neighbors so that we may share what we've been given through faith alone with those who have heard and those who have strayed, that our Lord might save all those belong to him. Jude chapter 1, verse 20 and following says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in the most holy faith and praying in the Holy Spirit, keep yourselves in the love of God, not in a Pelagian heresy of comparing ourselves to those around us. Waiting," he goes on, "for the mercy of our Lord Jesus Christ that leads to eternal life, and have mercy on those who doubt. Save others by snatching them out of the fire. To others, show mercy with the fear of God. For the thinking of Christ is always to save us. Always for his neighbors." It was that way during Pelagius' time, and it's that way when the tide is going out today. Keep your lamps lit, for he comes at an hour that you do not expect. And blessed is the one who the Master finds awake, for the end is nearer than when you first believed. In Jesus' name, amen. Now may the peace of God that passes all understanding keep our hearts and our minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. At this time, we come to the point in our service where we have an opportunity to return to the Lord a portion of the gifts that he's so graciously blessed us with in our times of tithes and offerings. As our offerings are collected this morning, our organist will share with us an instrumental piece. We now come to the time in our service where we join together as church in prayer to our Heavenly Father through our Lord Jesus Christ. Our response for our prayers this morning is, hear our prayer. Let us pray for the whole church of God in Christ Jesus and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, you founded your church upon the proclamation of repentance for the forgiveness of sins. Purify the tongues of your servants, that the tongues of the wicked may be silenced, and turn them away from evil, that their sins may be washed away. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, encourage us by your Holy Spirit that we may not lose heart. Make us to be of one mind and will, that we may serve you with gladness, doing the works of your kingdom here and throughout the world, caring for our neighbors, caring for our families and friends. Lord, and you've given us a beautiful example of that care through the Lutheran Women's Missionary League, to the ladies that you created and sustain as they do their ministry to bless and protect and preserve the gospel as it goes throughout the world. Lord, we remember them and honor them today. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, we pray you sustain all fathers and all mothers and children, husbands and wives, friends and neighbors, laborers and employers, and teachers and students. Enable us all to serve our neighbors in a godly vocational way, delighting in the fact that, Lord, you said that that which was done unto the least of these, your brothers, was done unto you. Help us see it, Lord, that we may lavish care and loving kindness on all who are in need. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, all the might of man is nothing before you. Yet you have appointed earthly realms and rulers to punish evil and to honor good. So we beg you to give us faithful leaders who will serve honorably and well, and bless those who serve in our armed forces to defend us and protect our liberty. And Lord, keep those safe who are in harm's way, and our police, firefighters, emergency personnel. Lord, bless doctors and nurses in our hospitals as they do your work of caring for the neighbor. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, grant the encouragement of Christ and the comfort of his love to those who are in need this day. We especially name before you this morning the Crochel family, the family of April Yon, Debbie Ford, Sandra Cody, Mike and Troy Kirk, Dave Sturr, Jim and Linda Holman, Dennis Ortiz, Letha Hershey, J.D. Deacon, Dale Randorf, James Mills, Kirillin Jiri, Mona Hauser, Marcella Pilcher, Betty Gray, Sandy Santa Stephen, Betty Patton, Sonny Rumler, Ella Clark, Greg and Chris, Don Hermanson, and all those that we name silently on our hearts at this time. In every affliction, Lord, prove yourself a ready and worthy Savior, especially to those who believe. And Lord, inspire us to be your hands and feet in your loving care. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, the name of Jesus stands above all names. Before it, we bow our knees and confess him as Lord and God. Inspire in us true devotion and worship as we approach his altar to receive our humble Savior and these humble means of bread and wine for our salvation. Lord, in your mercy, merciful Lord, in you there is no shadow due to change. Enkindle your divine light in us, that we may stand united together as Christ's own body, holding fast to the word of life and shining brightly in the midst of the world's darkness, not alone, but with you and together with all believers, through the same Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. If you've been joining us on the radio this morning, we thank you for tuning in and wish sincerely the Lord's blessings to you throughout the rest of your day and your coming week. If you're gathered here with us in the sanctuary this morning, we invite you to turn to page 12 in your bulletin, and please stand if you're able for our service of the sacrament. The Lord be with you. Lift up your hearts.
We lift them up unto the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is
truly meet, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who out of love for his fallen creation humbled himself by taking on the form of a servant, becoming obedient unto death, even death upon a cross. Risen from the dead, he has freed us from eternal death and given us life everlasting. Therefore, with angels and archangels and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to his disciples and said, "Take, eat, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also, he took the cup after supper. And when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." The peace of the Lord be with you always. Amen.
And you've been listening to Pastor Jason Cody, live from Trinity Lutheran Church in Alamosa. Thank you for listening. Trinity Lutheran Church is located at 52 El Rio Drive in Alamosa, Colorado, with worship services every Sunday beginning at 10 a.m. Please join us in person or listen in right here on KSPK-FM. For more information, you may call the church office at 719-589-4611 or visit our website at www.tlcalamosa.net or on Facebook by searching for Trinity Lutheran Church Alamosa. And tune in again next Sunday at 10 a.m. right here on KSPK-FM.
KSPK Wall